And welcome to the 97th episode of the Hurricane CrossFit Podcast.
I think it's pretty cool.
Well, Kel was apparently looking at Spotify and looking at our... Because I didn't know what number we were technically on.
We always mentioned it, but we just never looked it up.
Yeah. And so you said, I think Pat was the original starter of the podcast back in the day. Because he had asked me about doing it at the time. I said, yeah, I really don't care. And so he... I think originally it started off with almost... we were doing the athlete of the month.
Yes.
Where once a month he was doing
that. There's a lot of like athlete of the months and like features.
Yeah. And it's just tougher to do. I know some people have asked, like, I want to come on the podcast and talk, whatever, but it's tougher because we don't, unless you want to come in the middle of the day on a Thursday.
Sure.
This is kind of our podcast time.
Kind of our hour right
and
now.
I'm not going to etch out a 7 p.m. podcast on a Tuesday night to do it, or, you know, or a Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Sure. And so, I mean, if you are free on a Thursday afternoon at noon, then potentially you could make a spot on the podcast, I guess. But yeah, 97th episode, 16 of which were Pat, and I guess the other 70 plus are ours at this point.
Technically, this is the 79th revamped.
So this is about, we're about, what, 2 years going on the podcast
now?
Because I want to say 2 years ago in January we started it, right?
Something like that. I think it was like, I'm not going to lie to you, but it was like January or February. Pretty sure
along those lines.
Yeah,
and we've skipped some weeks here or there. I know even Bryce, before you got here, probably about 30 minutes before you got here, asking, he's like, "Am I gonna have a podcast to listen to this week?" Which yeah, I think he listens to them at work on the weekends and stuff.
Well, they're actually—I didn't realize how many people actually listen to it at the gym.
Well, I mean, we get. I mean, obviously, we're not getting like thousands of.
No, but I mean, I imagine you're probably getting at least 100.
Oh, no, not that many.
No, not that many.
No,
50.
No, we get about between 50. 50. A good podcast gets over 100.
Okay.
But I'd say between 50 and about 70 is our average range. And if we have something that is a little bit more spicy, then it gets over 100.
Over 100.
I think our most popular one was the podcast that we did, the shit that pisses us off.
Yeah.
As a coaching staff.
I can see that one.
That one had like 120 plays.
I think they just wanted to listen to that one just to see what we hate so they could do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, either that or this... I want to listen to the drama, right?
Sure.
And so, but no, it's been consistently well for the most part. We try to do once a week, obviously, no more than that, just because at the end of the day, it's not like this is how we're making a living off podcasting by any means. And so, it's really...
Dog, I got something in my eyeball right now, and it's
scratching?
Eating me alive. I'm going to keep it rolling, but we got something going on in here.
What I want to know is how many people took cookies from Sydney?
A lot. I think a lot. Well, I know the box didn't last too long on Monday.
I'm not going to lie. Those cookies looked pretty legit. And everybody who had one said it was pretty legit.
So, I'm not going to lie to y'all. If y'all are ever in Sulphur, they only have them during Christmas time. But they have this sugar cookie, which I'm not the biggest fan of sugar cookies either. Mm-hmm. But the icing on this dang thing. If you are an icing person, this is your cookie.
You see, in... Liz this morning was saying the complete opposite of that.
Really?
She's like, I'm not a big icing person, but the cookie was really good, but I didn't really care for the icing.
Okay, well, see, I guess it just depends then.
If you're an icing person, the cookie person.
If you're, exactly, right?
If you're somebody who scrapes the icing off a cupcake.
Probably not your cookie.
Yeah.
But the cookie itself is good, like Liz said. But no.
Is it a softer cookie?
So, I don't know, because I heat mine up. I put them in the microwave for like 5 to 10 seconds, and that makes everything ooey gooey. But I have not tried the gingerbread one, and apparently Matt Bell said it was a very, very, very good
gingerbread. It's like a ginger snap cookie
or
something.
Ginger snap cookie or something like that.
I'm not a big fan of cookies that crumble. Like when you're eating them, like you bite into it, like it goes into 18 different pieces as you're chewing it.
Yeah.
I like more of a softer cookie. That's just me.
I like a soft cookie. So I'm not the biggest fan of like Chips Ahoy style cookies, if that makes sense.
No, I'm not either.
No?
That's kind of a hard, crunchy cookie.
That's a harder, crunchy cookie. I want the chewy. I want the chewy.
Yeah, more like a soft.
Yeah.
Not quite doughy, but soft cookie.
But that cookie is like, it's like a vanilla icing, but it's got like a hint of like lemon in it.
Yeah.
And so if you like lemon, you definitely eat your
life. Like my cookie back in the day when I was a kid was the ones you always buy at the grocery store sale all year round. Like the soft one that has like the icing on top. I always like pink or blue or you know what I'm talking about? Like this,
no.
They're probably about that size. The sugar cookies that you can buy, like you can buy like a dozen of them in like the plastic container.
Oh yeah.
And they're stacked like that.
Like different colors. Like
yeah,
the icing's like different colors.
Yeah.
And sprinkles.
They'll do like different.
Yeah, those are banging.
Yeah.
Those are amazing.
Back in the day, well, dude. Oh man,
I
would crush
those. I got some stories about those cookies, man. We used to go duck hunting, and we used to go to Brown's after we go duck hunting, and we would always get breakfast there. And instead of getting breakfast, we would just buy a case of those cookies, and like me and whoever was in the car, we would just eat those cookies on the way home. That was like your breakfast. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
those
breakfast
are
of champions
really
there.
Good. Really good. What'd you say?
Breakfast of champions, right there.
It's not the most healthy of breakfasts.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, me growing up as a kid, and even people to this day, right? Like, what you consider breakfast is really just a dessert.
Sure.
If you're eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch as a cereal, it's just dessert. It's just eating sugar.
For sure.
But it's labeled as a breakfast food, right? So you're thinking like, oh, okay, I'm having breakfast, I'm having cereal.
But it's like the only thing you really want to eat in the mornings as a kid probably is like something just tasty. Like, you don't want to eat eggs or bacon.
Eggs and bacon and sausage.
Unless it's like a McGriddle, you know? But that was always the go-to. That and like boudin balls for some reason.
Boudin balls? That's such a random thing. When I was real little, probably at Carter's age, like elementary school, was the cinnamon, not Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the cinnamon waffles from Lego, where you put them in a toaster.
Yeah.
It has little waffles. I used to eat those.
You like
the shit out of those things.
So my brother loved those. Loved like those or just any waffle in general. Mm-hmm. But I never got into waffles. It almost like anything he liked, I didn't like.
It was like a Cinnamon Toast waffle thing. It wasn't like a full on like regular.
It was like the little waffles. Square strips.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if we ever eat like a Waffle House, I'm all about a waffle.
Oh, see, now I love waffles. See, are you a waffle or pancake guy? Because I'm a waffle guy.
It depends. So, like a Belgian waffle?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Belgian
waffle. No, see, I just like a waffle. I just want a waffle. I don't really care to have like this big crunchy ass waffle to me.
Well, that's kind of what
a Belgian waffle?
So a Belgian waffle is a little bit smaller in diameter, but it's thicker.
Okay.
But it's also kind of crunchy.
See, no. I want mine to be crunchy, but I want to be able to eat it with like a fork and just like slice it.
I like a waffle that's more like a pancake style.
Okay.
So I guess it's maybe a hybrid waffle.
How you deal with it? Now, I will say, if y'all... I do like pancakes. I'm not saying I don't like pancakes. Coffee 30 has this pancake.
I'm intrigued.
It is good. That's really? All I will say. It is good.
Me and Kaylee went to Coffee 30, I think, one time. This is years ago. Probably 2 years ago. Because it's not that old. Coffee 30 is not that old. Over there by the interstate. Mm-hmm. It was good. But, I mean, that's the only time we've ever been.
Yeah. Me and Sydney like it a lot.
Is there Coffee 30 on Nelson right here in that new building, that old roller rink building where like Mayweather boxing is and all that stuff?
Maybe. I don't know.
I could have swore there was.
There might be opening a new location. I don't know though. But they have actually good food too though. I'll get like their little bowls and like stuff like that. It's pretty good.
Okay. Also, I guess we probably should start off the podcast with this. Functional mobility class.
Yes.
December 16th.
Yep.
So not this Saturday, but next
10:30.
Saturday at 10:30. We had a good turnout last time. We had about, I want to say 30, 40 people show up for that.
Something like 30.
And everybody enjoyed it. It's not just static stretching. It's a little bit more active.
And that's what people were asking.
Stretching. It's not like you're just kind of sit there and like touch your toes and, you know, all right, you're going to, you know, do pigeon stretch. It's not
it's
a static.
Like a range of motion type of a.
Yeah. It's a hybrid between, I guess, strength stretching, I guess. Because mm-hmm. it's. I guess it would be the lowest level of strength stretching, I guess, is probably what you could say. So, for instance, like thinking like you're trying to work your way in and out of a pitch and stretch, right, with your own body weight. So you're kind of strengthening the tissue and the joints, but not under load.
Sure.
Right? And so I guess that would be kind of your lowest. Now, obviously, over time, once you achieve a certain range of motion with your own body weight, you're able to move in and out of those positions. You could obviously load those positions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So think of it... Think of like a reverse Nordic curl.
Okay.
You know, like a reverse Nordic curl. So if you don't know what that is, so think of it like you're in a kneeling position, and then you essentially would lower yourself down while squeezing your butt, keeping your hips tight, and lower yourself where your back hits the ground, so your belly's facing towards the ceiling, and then coming back out of that range of motion, right?
Dude.
So for some people, they can't even get into that range of motion, including me. But essentially, you would... So like I'm trying to work my way to that right now.
You're using like what, bands?
Well, so I've used bands, but okay. I stacked plates, put a med ball on top of the plates, and leaned back, made contact with med ball,
and then
came out of that.
Oh, okay.
Right? So the idea being over time to just decrease the range
the
of motion, or increase the range of motion technically, decrease the plates, the size of the plates, and so on and so forth, and work my way down from there.
Okay.
And then obviously doing that unassisted where you go all the way down.
All the way down.
That's what I'm kind of working towards. Now it's going to be a long stretch. So maybe by the end of 2024, I can maybe do one. But that would be like an example of strength stretching.
I know, like, just from talking to the people, because I wasn't able to make it to that one, but talking to the people that came to it, they were, like, very open their kind of, like, eyes a little bit, like, showed them, like, okay, like, I'm actually not that mobile, or, you know?
Yeah.
But also, kind of talking about your Nordic deal, Heidi had somebody do your box jump, your new box jump.
Oh, okay, yeah, and?
For anybody that don't know, we've been kind of playing around with this a little bit, kind of mentioned it last week. But normally if y'all can't jump to a box, y'all either do a step or y'all like jump to plates, right? And just add the plates on top of it. But now we're kind of thinking about maybe kind of implementing this was stacking plates by your box, right? So like right in front of your box, you're standing on the plates and then from there jumping to an actual box, right? And it actually went very well.
Yeah.
It went very well.
Okay.
So I wanted to mention that again.
Because the thinking behind that, obviously, and that's stolen kind of from Ben Bergeron, was, so like typically you would have someone who doesn't like to jump, you would start them at a very low plate height, right? Mm-hmm. So you would maybe stack like a plate, like a 45-pound plate, and have them jump 3 inches in the air, right? It's a pretty low barrier of entry. And over time, you would stack those plates up higher and higher until they got to a height that would be similar to the box height. But sometimes jumping to plates at the same height and jumping to a box the same height,
a little different.
Little mental barrier that happens there. So if you can start them automatically jumping on a box and just stack plates up against the box. So technically think of like there's the box height and maybe 6 inches below that, there's a stack of plates underneath them. So technically they're only jumping 6 inches.
Sure.
And then over time you would do less and less plates where the jump is getting higher and higher over time.
Eventually jumping on a box.
Jumping on a box.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
See it in action.
Yeah. And so today, I mean, it probably won't be a very long podcast. This might be like a 20-minute of the day. Is your holiday guide for fitness?
Sure.
Because obviously we are in that weird area between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and obviously
like
with New Year's
as
well.
Time frame, I feel like.
This is such a weird stretch between Christmas and or Thanksgiving to Christmas. I'm sure if you have more of a corporate style job, you're in the season of we're going to put a pin in that till beginning of the year. Where essentially you're doing either busy work and nothing is really actually progressing.
Catching up on all your work.
Yeah, you're nothing's really progressing all that far. And people can have a tendency to kind of get a little bit more lazy, I guess, so to speak, this time of the year where you're kind of a little bit more, quote unquote, in the holiday cheerful spirit where you're just like you're more about having a good time than you are working towards a goal, per se. And that's part of, you know, being human and part of the holiday season. But with that being said, is how do we go about navigating that 6 week period between Thanksgiving and New Year's before we get into that first 4 week stretch of January? And I kind of tell people this every single year where you kind of have your three different paths to kind of go down when it comes to holiday season. The first one being, obviously you can just kind of say, screw it. I'm just going to kind of deal with it. And I'm just going to go YOLO and just kind of live it as I want.
Sure.
Eat how I want. Maybe not work out as consistently. If I work out here and there, I will, but my nutrition's going to go, my nutrition's going to go way off the rails. I'm just going to eat whatever I want when I want to do it. And there's a potential that you gain a good, you know, 10 pounds.
I was about to say you could gain 5 pounds.
5, 10 pounds during this holiday season. And you just kind of deal with the repercussions come January. That's an option, obviously. Option two, which most people are kind of in this mindset of, and it's still progress, so to speak, where if I don't make progress, but I don't regress, that's still progress, so to speak.
And I feel like that's a majority of people.
Yeah, and that's kind of the nutrition people I kind of work with is kind of framing their mindset of like what's going to be successful for them during the month of December. And it's about half and half. Half are still kind of like, I still would like to make some progress during the month of December. And some are just like, hey, if I can maintain what I have during the month of December, that's a win.
Sure.
Right? And so basically you're not regressing, but you're not progressing per se. You're kind of standstill
like
during the month of December,
thing.
Right? Yeah. And obviously the other side of that is still being extreme about things and being very regimented with your nutrition and your workout routine. And you're trying to still make progress during that month of December. And so, like I said, most people will kind of navigate that where is that balancing act for them? And this is with life in general, but even more so during the holiday season.
You can apply this to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it's more so during the holiday season just because of the fact that there's so many more opportunities to fall off the wagon, right? You're going to have more work parties, family events, work gatherings, friends getting together, stuff like that. And there's just more temptation in general. And what I tell people is two things. Is one, is don't get overly stressed during this time of year about your fitness and like all of the regression that may or may not happen. Because at the end of the day, these couple weeks of the year, or these even couple of sessions or couple parties or events, aren't what got you where you are now.
Yeah.
Like doesn't...
That's not going to define you, right?
You know, the mean way of saying it is like, the holidays didn't make you fat, the rest of the year did.
Sure.
Right? And those are the times that you should be more harped on being like super consistent or being more consistent. And during the holiday season, it should be more about striking that balance of when it's time to enjoy myself at a holiday gathering, I'm going to enjoy myself and eat and drink in a mindful way, but still enjoy myself.
Like, don't be an asshole and eat like a whole carton of cookies.
Exactly.
Right.
Matt Bell said he bought Ken that those damn cookies. And I think he gave a couple away, but he ate the whole damn box.
So I texted him.
Matt Bell?
Yeah, I said, how are those damn cookies? And he goes, dude, those cookies were so good. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't want to give them away, but I knew I couldn't eat them all.
Yeah, so he gave a couple away yesterday here at the gym because Sydney brought him a whole box worth. And then he came in today, and whatever he had remaining, he ate the whole entire box yesterday. Yeah. And so, but anyways, getting back on track before we get sidetracked here is... enjoying when the time comes, but an example I like to use a lot of times is, let's take an example of today. What's today's December 7th on a Thursday. You should still be eating like you normally would, right? And you should be going to work out like you normally would. I think the fault that a lot of people make during this time of year is...
It's like a birthday month.
Exactly. Like they're going to just blow it out the whole entire month where it's like, okay, well, it's Thursday, it's December, because it's December now. Mm-hmm. That means I can have, you know, cakes and cookies and pies and hot cocoa and blow my diet completely out of proportion. And that's where a lot of your weight gain and your regression
is going. Weight gain comes in that month. It doesn't come in November. Really.
Yeah. It's like, that's where that regression really starts to happen. And so if you can kind of compartmentalize when it's a normal weekly work day and there's no reason for you to fall off track other than you just want to on a random Wednesday, that you got to be more regimented during those time frames. Like, keep everything as normal, and then when the time comes for your holiday gatherings, and you can live a little bit during those times. And that's your best way to find balance, where you might see a little bit of progress during the week, and then maybe have a holiday party over the weekend, right? And you kind of maybe eat more than you normally would, or party up more, a little bit more than you would, and you have a little regression habits over the weekend, but it's you're balancing yourself out, right? And so... That's the most simplistic way to go about doing it is striking. And it's harder for everybody because some people can... It's always funny because people can get really overhyped about the holidays that, you know, I'm going to gain weight or I'm going to get really out of shape during this time frame. But I'm like, you're not worried about that in June.
Yeah.
In June, you're not worried about that. But now all of a sudden, because it's Christmas, you are. Don't get so overly stressed about this time frame. Right. And so, but it is striking that balance between finding yourself working on your nutrition and getting your workouts in, but also enjoying the holidays at the same time. And, when it comes to your actual holiday gatherings and things like that, the most simplistic thing, you're trying to still stay somewhat on track and you're like, okay, I would still like to have a little bit of like some rules for myself going into some of these holiday parties to, offset some of the bad decisions I may make. Is there's a couple things that you can possibly do. Is if you're the day of the actual event, is still probably eat like you normally would. I think the big mistake a lot of people make is like, I'm going to save my calories
and then just dive in
for that afternoon.
That's the worst idea, just saying.
Well, and the problem with that is because you starve yourself all day long. You then see red when you get there and go completely hog wild.
Done that. Not a good time, guys.
You go hog wild when you're eating everything and everything that you can. You're drinking and stuff like that. And you end up way overdoing it than you would otherwise. compared to if you ate like normal all day long, and maybe even ate before you went. Yeah, before you even go. So let's say you got a event at 7 o'clock and you have a 6 o'clock dinner at your house. Well, if you're already more satiated and more full, you're probably gonna make better decisions at the event.
Snack.
Yeah, more right. So than anything else, right? So you won't overdo it. So that's probably your best approach compared to trying to bank in your calories at nighttime and then you completely overindulge that nighttime, right? So that's probably like your number one thing you could do the day of the event. And then maybe when you're at the event is one being liquid calories are never going to be your friend.
Yeah.
Because they don't add any value whatsoever.
You're not getting anything from it.
Yeah, because the more you drink, you're racking up calories and you're not getting satiated from drinking. If anything, you probably eat more because you're more drunk or you're eating more or drinking more in general. So it makes you eat more. So yes, I understand people like their alcohol and things like that, but do it in moderation, but just know that it really doesn't add any benefit to you, especially when it comes to body composition wise.
And I know y'all ain't just having one drink. So.
No, exactly. And then the other thing, the third, probably final thing would be, is always starting off with some type of protein source to start off your meals. So, whether it be turkey or ham or whatever, chicken, whatever meat source is available to you, if you can start off, like my general rule is, okay, I have to grab a plate and, half this plate has to be filled with protein to at least start. And I can get through that plate. And then if I want something else on top of that afterwards,
rock and roll.
I can do that, right? But I think the inverse of that, people a lot of times will, they'll put like a little bit of protein on their plate and then they, rack up the macaroni.
Rolls
and
macaroni.
Yeah, the stuffing.
Dressing and all that, yeah.
Yeah, and so start your plate off with more protein, and then from there, whatever else you want on top of that, you can do that, right? But that'll keep you more satiated, and so will allow you to not overindulge as much when eating those particular event parties. Those are kind of my three big tidbits I would probably give. I don't know if there's anything else I'm probably missing on, but
I think that's really good stuff right there. I mean, especially the eat before you go part. I think that helps a lot of people.
I think that, like I said, the big mistake a lot of people do make is if they're going to starve themselves all day, knowing that I'm going to eat a lot that day, and because of that, they way overdo it because of that. And obviously, just staying active in general during the holidays is crucial. Even if you might gain a little weight here and there, you can still, if you're still staying consistent with your workouts, you're still moving consistently, that'll obviously help offset some of that stuff. And then as well as, if you guys have done your due diligence and worked out all year and built that skeletal muscle mass, you'll burn more calories at resting, which will help offset some of that overeating as well. But like I said, this kind of put us all into a bow. This is kind of this time of the year where you have to be willing to kind of take the hits a little bit, enjoy yourself a little bit. And this is a time of the year to kind of relax a little bit and kind of let the gas pedal, so to speak. And I think that's fine. You do have to live a little bit, and because the rest of the year, you really don't have those opportunities like you do this time of the year.
And just know, like, you're not going to be perfect in this time either.
No.
Right? Like, and don't expect to be perfect, right? I mean, with all the events and everything, you're going to have slip-ups, and you're going to, mess up, and you're going to have snacks and whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And to just kind of, like, almost, like, not be okay with it, but just understand.
But don't beat yourself up about it, right?
And I think that's another thing a lot of people end up doing, is they beat themselves up. But it's like, you only have November and December once a year, right? And all these holidays and all these family gatherings, you're only probably going to do this once or twice a year. So do enjoy it.
Well, like the county now, me and Trey McHuser were talking about this a little bit yesterday, where I know some people will say, like, you shouldn't say that you have to earn this meal or whatever it may be. And I don't know, I kind of disagree with that to a degree, where it'd be like saying, well, I earned a rest day on a Wednesday when you didn't work out on Monday or Tuesday. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
Look at it too, though.
Where, if you can do your due diligence during the weekday, Monday through Friday, and eat like you normally would, right? Then you can have that opportunity to say, I've done my work during the week to earn myself to, live a little bit on the weekend and go to these holiday gatherings and not overly stress myself out because I'm overeating, right?
It almost gives you that freedom, right? It almost gives you like, okay, I did put the work in this week. Mm-hmm. I did work out 4 or 5 times a week. So like, it is okay. It almost gives you like that, okay, I earned it. I am able to make a slip up here and there this weekend, right?
Well, just like, Jocko Willink always says, discipline equals freedom.
Equals freedom.
Right? It's kind of his saying. And that can be, and it's so true in that perspective where I think sometimes people think they have to be so regimented and locked down at some points in time. And it's really kind of like it's more like an 80-20 standpoint, right? Like, more often than not, obviously, you're going to be consistent and and do the work you got to do. But because you've done the work consistently, you have some room in there to have some fun and have the freedom mm-hmm. that you want to do, right? It's when you, quote unquote, have the freedom all the time. You do what you want when you want to do it. Then you have you get guilty when you are at a holiday gather because you know you didn't do the work all week long, mm-hmm. right? You know, you missed 3 or 4 workouts that week and you ate out multiple times that week because, you know, it's December and now you're kind of starting to feel bad about yourself on the weekend because you went to a family gathering and you ate and drank some more on that weekend. Like, oh my God, I'm so far behind.
Yeah.
Earn those times to enjoy yourself more so than not. But, so yeah, it's kind of your holiday guide for you guys. If you got any more questions on it, definitely let us know. One thing we'll kind of be announcing to you guys here soon enough. Which be interested to see how you guys kind of do with this, but we're going to do a consistency over everything challenge starting at the first week of January. We'll put some more details out about that next week and we'll do a full podcast on that whole entire thing. But if not, we'll see you guys at another time.
See you when I see you.